Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington as well, if you want to follow along on TV. And we are brought to you by EMP 180. The standard for weight loss in the D.C. area, EMP180weightloss.com. If you want to check that out, we thank you for tuning in this first day of March 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning. Johnny Cakes Oliville's here.
Hello.
And Jason Bishop.
Hi.
Cakes, were you lucky at the lucky table?
I actually was lucky at National.
Look at you, Johnny Cakes.
Were you part of the lucky table or you just earned your chips?
I got to the casino at roughly 10:45, sat down, had my poker backpack, didn't have to go to the cashier, just got my chips out.
Right.
And at 12:15, there was a drawing for lucky table 8, Ovi's number, Cal's number.
Right.
And I was sitting at table 8.
Nice. So you got 200 bones just for sitting there?
$200.
Everybody at the table gets $200.
Everybody that was dealt in.
Wow.
Got $200. I felt terrible for the guy that was.
There was a guy that went to the bathroom?
There was a dude sitting next to me. He had just gotten to the table like 15 minutes earlier. And I don't think he was aware of the lucky table promotion.
Yeah.
Got up and left. Lightning strikes, hits the table. He comes back. Everybody's, you know,
high-fiving
and having a good time. He missed out. He missed out.
Do they pay you in cash or chips?
Chips. Two black chips.
Nothing wrong with that.
And how did the actual game go?
It was a pretty good session. I made $390.
Wow.
Damn, so you're
plus $200?
Plus $590.
Plus the $200. It was a solid afternoon.
I'm jelly.
At MGM National Harbor.
That backpack is swole today.
Yeah, the backpack's at my house. I'm not going back today, but I will be back soon.
Good for you, Cakes. I'm glad it paid off.
It did pay off, finally.
What was the biggest hand?
Biggest hand for me? Well, flopping the nut flush is a pretty good hand.
It's not bad.
Took a guy's stack with that. He had a lower flush.
Right.
Made another flush. Did pretty well with that. I bled a few chips out late. I overvalued my pocket eights. But that happens sometimes.
Yeah, well,
you know, sometimes that happens.
Hey. It feels good walking out of that place in winter, doesn't it?
Better than the alternative.
I'm so glad you hit
There's
that,
no
though,
doubt about that.
That lucky table BS, because people don't understand how Cakes will gear his schedule around that sort of thing.
I absolutely will.
And then you finally hit one.
So then I waited, of course, until 2:15 for the next lucky table drawing. That went to table 18.
Right.
Drab is like, is the fix in? Because you all of a sudden show up. And I was like, what are you talking about? Is it fixing? Do you know how many times I've sat at the tables at MGM National Harbor?
And they didn't draw
your
table.
I've sat at the unlucky tables.
Right.
Basically every other time.
Right. Good for you, man.
Cakes now, buying breakfast this morning.
Now, Johnny Grooms, the poker room director, was on the premises when my lucky table hit. Now, I'm not saying that anything weird was going on.
And how long have you been MGM ambassador? 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think about a month, because I've already played in the Cakes Classic Bounty Tournament. It's coming up again, so close to a month.
How long did it take MGM to tweet out that you won after your number came up?
I think they did it pretty quickly.
Four minutes.
After I had tweeted it, they knew I was there. I have an intimate relationship with the people at MGM National Harbor.
Yeah, definitely a really good relationship.
Definitely beneficial to the casino to have you win.
let's not turn this into something ugly. Let's celebrate by finally being lucky.
And you
Can
know
we
what?
Do that?
One of our listeners could be lucky because we have the cash flash going on, the 12K a day, 12K a day cash flash multi-market contest.
Yeah,
we have
flash.
A keyword to give away.
We do, and the code word for this hour is BOLD. You're going to text BOLD to this number, 72881. Before 7 a.m. for your chance to win $1,000 in this multi-market contest. Mm. That's BOLD to 72881. Message and data rates apply. The next cash flash is at 7 a.m. and Pedro will have that word for you.
So while Cakes was at the casino yesterday, I didn't realize it was going to be as nice as it was. I think it was like 63, 64 degrees.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful.
During the day, it was nice. Yeah.
And
started to get a little nippy around 4 o'clock.
I just squandered it in a room with no windows and no clocks.
Well, I was in my basement in my dungeon.
Right.
And I was about to take a nap because for some reason I decided yesterday to go without caffeine.
Right.
I decided that was smart. I mean, there is a little logic to it, but I won't give you the gory details. I got a massive headache during the day yesterday, too, going one day without caffeine.
Caffeine withdrawal.
Yeah,
your body's craving
crazy.
It.
But I said, instead of just napping, I was so tired because I went without the caffeine, plus the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
I said, let's just go out on the hammock. Let's go get, can I have this? I have the world's cheapest hammock.
Okay.
It's
you got
something.
A real nubber.
My kids got me it, like, you know, for Father's Day or something.
Yeah.
It's like. It's a portable thing.
Okay.
You put like the four poles together and you throw out the world's cheapest hammock. It's probably cost them $30.
So is it barely better than like the fold out chairs that people bring to like soccer games?
It's slightly better than that. But I mean it is a real hammock.
Yeah.
But I said I just like my backyard, by the way,
so
is the
worst.
So it's
a portable hammock that it's not strung
yes.
up.
Oh, it's like you put it in like a
tell
bag.
That's nubs.
It's nubs. Yeah. But it holds me. I mean
sure.
I'm 200 pounds.
Yeah.
So I put it together. Took me a second to figure out how to put the four poles together, but I did. And you know what? It's enjoyed. I like hammocks. Now, here's the thing, though. This hammock is
Let
not.
Let me guess, you had your phone out there with you.
Yeah, I was actually listening to a podcast.
Oh, all right.
But
so I knew you couldn't part with the phone even if you went to the hammock.
Well, I mean, don't you normally like to have something sort of entertain you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go to
you
the hammock.
You listen to Big Owen Dukes Reloaded? Free plug for you there, drab t-shirt. You're welcome.
Occasionally
You're welcome.
I do cakes. Of course I do. But it's one of those it's not like one of those nice hammocks where it's like flat.
Yeah.
Mine like wraps you. You know what I mean? When you get in.
It basically envelops you.
It kind of envelops you. And it actually gets kind of scary because you sit there and then you hear anything. That's just how I sort of am. I'm always wondering, is there like...
You're anxious.
I get anxious. I can't relax because I get... I don't know, because I can't see what's going on around me.
Right.
I actually, as much as I enjoy it, I can't really like fall asleep in it.
Right.
Because I get like a bird or a squirrel or...
But you are outside, so...
Yeah, you don't know the elements. I just never know what's going to come jump on me. But I did enjoy being outside... And today's the first day of March, and I'm getting all geeked up. And then I look at the weather forecast, and it's going to be the cold and rainy. By tomorrow, it's going to be 42 again.
Well, wait till tomorrow. Not only is it going to be cold,
windy.
There's like a high wind warning. Could be gusts of up to like 50 to 60 miles per hour.
I see 31 mile per hour winds tomorrow.
You won't see it up tomorrow. Just in British open conditions.
I don't know what's going on.
What it's like.
It's going to be cold and rainy, and it's going to rain all day today.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow it's going to be really windy. Trash cans going to be blowing all over the neighborhood. It's going
right.
to get
My
salty.
Kid actually has a scrimmage tomorrow. They're going to be running around in 30, 40 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, that's going to be an awful scrimmage.
It's going to be poop. But I think it looks like it's going to blow out by Saturday. Looks like no precipitation for the next few days. But I am ready for the warm weather. I'm ready for the hammock to be like a weekly bit, Cakes. I'm ready.
Today is a perfect day to watch day college hoops.
And golf.
And WGC Mexico.
Mm.
Yep, it's
Not
a perfect day.
No Tiger.
It's a perfect day.
You're going to watch
Terps
golf
play
from
at
a
noon.
Foreign country.
Terps play at noon against
Terps
Whiskey.
Terps play at noon. I'll watch that.
And then WGC, I'm not sure what time the coverage starts there. Probably 1 o'clock. So it's a perfect day to sit inside and just bet it all.
You know, the Terps are, they're not going to the tournament.
Correct.
But. I mean, it's not like the Big Ten is formidable. What if they can just get... They just need one or two lucky ones. You know what I mean? There's only what... They have four teams going to the tournament. That's
they
most
just
projections.
They crushed by Michigan.
Correct.
No. They don't need... They need more than one or two lucky ones.
Well, no. They should beat Wisconsin.
Should beat Wisconsin.
Should beat Wisconsin. I mean, I'm not going to say we're going to, but let's say that's not lucky. But then, you know, there's really only a couple beasts that you're scared of.
Yeah, but it's not like the, even if they beat Michigan State in the semis, it's not like they're going to go to the tournament based on that win. They're going to have to win the tournament.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you got to win the whole tournament. There's a 100% chance.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's not like they're playing a murderer's row of 12
you're
tournament teams. I was started to grasp.
A little bit of a grasper.
I can tell.
Well, that's by my nature. I'm
a
grasper. You don't want me to grasp. Oh, otherwise, why even bother watching a game today? Why even bother?
Me and my brother, we decided that if the Terps make it to the final round, we're going to go up to New York.
Are you kidding?
It's just what we decided.
Is
we know it's not going to happen
as well.
What? Yes, he is.
Two donks from Adina made it to the old College Park. What were we talking about yesterday that you and your family were doing? Oh, his dad just got a boat. You guys know about that, right?
He was my dad's retiring this year in June.
Bob. Yeah.
And he bought a boat, a center console boat, and he's going to go crabbing every day. And fishing.
That is so perfect.
So perfect, right?
Going to go crabbing.
Because I was trying, for some reason, Valdez is bailing on his master's trip, it looks like.
Yeah.
All his boys are bailing on him.
Right.
I said, why don't you take your brother? Why don't you take your dad? I said, God only knows. I wish my dad was around to do something like that with me. You know, and he goes, my dad just got a new boat, and we're going to spend every weekend together
on it. We can't buy master's tickets and eat pimento cheese sandwiches on the grounds. We've got to pay for the boat.
So, you got me there.
You know how expensive crab hearts are?
We're going to have an awesome summer.
So, the Terps would have to beat, obviously, Wisconsin and then Michigan State, and then they would have to beat either Michigan or Nebraska.
Nice. So, let's say two.
And then they'd have to beat, they got to beat Purdue or whoever, Ohio State. They got to win four games.
Right, they got to win four games. And I'm assuming two of them would be monster upsets. The others, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll start with
grasping.
Whiskey.
It's not like they got 12 tournament teams in front of them. That's all I'm saying. When you're in a conference that's got 100 teams and only four of them are projected to go to the tournament, it doesn't look as formidable as maybe it might in other years.
I see where you're going with that.
That's kind of my point.
Michigan State would be really tough out.
Yeah. Didn't we play them well for a half? I feel like one of the games we played them well for a half before they blew us out.
Two halves. The half at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Right.
They got off to a lead in the
first half.
Terp shot hot at Michigan State. And then they're in the lead heading into halftime, right? That's the game where they just got out-rebounded so
I think they were
so badly.
Six or seven like, maybe heading into the
Xfinity.
Half.
Right. So I did stay up and watch a good bit of the Wiz last night. I was actually hoping that they'd get blown out so I wouldn't stay up to watch any of the third quarter.
I already know the answer without asking and actually without any knowledge, but just to put it out there, did Jason Bishop go to the game?
I think everyone knows the answer to that.
I knew the answer to that during the show yesterday.
Yeah. I was perfectly content to see Bradley Beal shoot 3 for 15 from my bed.
Yeah. Well,
I was fine.
Just when you thought, man, they're really going to get blown out here. They were down 14 or 16 or something coming after a timeout. And then next thing you know, they've got it tied up with, 10 seconds ago, whatever left in the half. But then the third quarter swoon.
It's not just a swoon by the Wizards. That's what Golden State does.
I know,
they play around with people.
But they only scored 27. It's not like they scored 40 on us.
They've outscored seven teams by 20 in the third quarter this season.
Yeah, I know. Everyone expected that's going to be what they're going to do. But it's not like they scored 40. They scored 27. We scored 14.
Yeah.
You know, that's a swoon.
Eight turnovers. We'll have Scott Brooks on at 8 o'clock. Coach Brooks will be on. And after the game, he was lamenting about the turnovers. They had 18 turnovers. And he said that's kind of a trend that's been sneaking up. The people haven't been paying attention because we've had all these assists, but they've been turning over the ball a lot.
And there was one moment, and they showed it on the replay. I saw it live when I was watching, and I want to ask Brooks about this. I never see him this way. Kerr and Curry are on the sidelines, and they're just laughing. And I don't think it was like in a disrespectful way or anything, but they're like enjoying themselves.
Sure.
Now, it's easy to enjoy yourself when you're 47-14 or wherever they are, but they just were having fun. And every time I look at Coach Brooks, he looks miserable.
Doesn't look like he's having fun.
To me, he does.
Well, it's more of a grind
now,
for him.
Even during wins, what if they're blowing someone out?
He doesn't really look like certainly doesn't look like the way Kerr looked last night. Kerr was like,
what's going to be more fun when you have Durant and Curry and Green,
Klay Thompson?
Superstar laden roster.
But I mean, he really Steve Kerr looked like he's enjoying it.
Look, the Wizards have been on a great run, but what struck me watching that game is that wasn't even a good game for Golden State. That was like a C-plus Golden State. I've watched so many Golden State games over the last couple of years. Curry wasn't on. Kevin Durant wasn't on.
I know this is blasphemous.
And they still won fairly easily.
I don't like half of Curry's game. I hate when he dribbles up and pulls up from 40. I hate it. It just makes me cringe.
It's not true basketball.
It's not true basketball. I hate it. Now, when he sits there and hits open threes, and that's cool. I like that. And he's the dribbling and the assists and the oops and stuff. Those are cool. But, man, when he just comes down and just takes just an ill-advised, horrific 40-footer, I just cringe.
But that's a game where you need John Wall. And Kevin Durant talked about it before the game. A reporter asked him about the discussion that's going around. Are the Wizards better off without John Wall?
They asked John this?
They asked Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah.
And Durant basically said that's garbage.
Right. Probably.
But if you say that, you don't know anything about basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think when you just see the talent that the Golden State Warriors have with four All-Stars, you need John Wall out there to be competitive. And I know that the game ends up being an 8-point game, which was the line 8.5.
It was right around there.
Well, also, 8.5, 9.
People also point out how they could defend you so much differently. You know, they can double on Beal a lot more because, you know, Sato's not going to kill you, you know, on offense. You know, when John's out there, you got to pay attention to John.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors should win that game.
They should.
I don't care if they're traveling from out of town. I don't care where they're playing. They should win that game.
Yeah, they're the better team. They should win.
Yeah, and it didn't help that the Wiz were playing on the back-to-back.
They won it convincingly.
Yeah.
But I give credit. I mean, they fought. Just, you know, dud third quarter.
And Otto had a huge game.
Otto had 29 and 10.
Yeah.
I mentioned this yesterday. Otto, or maybe I didn't mention on this show, but I did some research. In the month of January, he averaged 11.1 points. He had many games where he wasn't even getting double figures, and he boosted that to 19 points a game.
I was going
to
guess 17. In February, he's averaging 19?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that continues when John comes back. I mean, they need him to be more aggressive, especially when you have a game where Bradley Beal doesn't even get the double figures.
Well, boys, it looked like Otto had taken a 5-hour energy shot before that
nice
game.
Nice segue. I like
and
it.
And not Bradley Beal.
Right. He missed his shipment.
Yeah, that's right. He did. I got plenty of boxes I can send him.
Can you send some to Bradley Beal so he doesn't have another dud like that?
Yes. I'll drive it to his house if he wants.
And can I get in on the action on the 5-hour energy?
Yes.
Can I get on the gravy train?
You can't get paid like me.
That's what I'm talking
about. But I can
about.
Give you the 5-hour
I mean,
energy
shot. I'm
doing
shots. So much content.
What do you want? You want citrus lime? You want orange? You want berry?
Yeah, I want all the above.
Whatever you want.
Yeah,
I got it for you. And by the way, I love 5-hour energy because it's got zero calories and zero sugar. I hate the taste of coffee. Can't stand it. Our callers should have a shot of mixed berry 5-hour energy right now so they can call in, be alert for Open Line Thursday. Haven't gotten one call yet, people.
Nope.
Take your shot and give us a call and talk about whatever you want. Right now, 5-Hour Energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign with a unique twist on this year's College Hoops Tournament. You've got the ability to swap your wrong selections during the tournament as the game is going on. You see an upset in the making? Well, swap out the favorite to ensure that your bracket is 100% correct. Go to wjfk.rtbrackets.com to sign up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Failed to mention it's an open line Thursday.
It is.
Your chance
correct.
To steer the show on Thursdays. The lines are open. You can get in now at 800-636-1067. You can talk about the Wizards. They lose, but they're still 36-27. Schedule doesn't let up. They've got the Raptors, who are the one seed in the Eastern Conference, tomorrow. Mm. I think after that, they've got Indiana, who's really good.
Is it here? The Raptors
believe
here.
It's a home
Raptors game.
Game,
I think, is here. Yeah.
So they've got the Raptors on Friday. And here's the deal with John Wall versus the Wizards without John Wall. Yes, they're 10-4. And they lost to Golden State, which everybody expected. And the statistics do seem favorable without John Wall. For example, the team was averaging 23.2 assists, 11th in the NBA, before Wall goes down. Without him during the stretch, they're averaging 30.2 assists. So a big jump in assists. And it's even more dramatic when they, I guess they chart just passes in a game. And in terms of the amount of passes they had in a game, it was 281 per game. 27th in the NBA. They're only 30 teams, so they were almost at the bottom of the league. And now it's jumped to 10th in the league. Scott Brooks, who we're going to have on at 8 o'clock, was asked about this. And, you know, he's not buying the whole we're better without John Wall. And just points to the fact that they were forced to play differently. And that they, look, they're going to go back to doing what John does well, but he's going to try and incorporate some of the things they're doing, moving the ball. But that they're going to run more pick and roll because John's great at pick and roll and he gets five or six open threes for guys. And that when John gets back, they also get a lot of easy buckets in transition because he's one of the fastest guys in the NBA. So I think it's a good development how well they're playing without him. I don't know how sustainable it is. It seemingly has been pretty damn sustainable.
Did you watch any of the pregame stuff yesterday on ESPN with Jalen Rose and T-Mac and
Why would
Paul
I watch
Pierce?
The pregame on ESPN when I'm doing a pregame on NBC Sports Washington?
Obviously, I wasn't watching you.
You should have watched it. DJ Easy Street was in studio.
I saw him. So, I watched some of the halftime. I saw some of the halftime
so
with Jalen.
With the pregame, Jalen Rose was going at it, you know, all in fun. But going at it with Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce and McGrady were in L.A. and it was a split screen, and Rose was in Bristol. But they were going at it about the whole John Wall thing. First of all, they started talking about Otto, and then they started talking about John Wall. And Pierce and McGrady were kind of anti-Wall, and Rose was pro
Pierce.
Wall.
Pierce took the anti-Wall stance.
Well, not anti-Wall. They just want They just want him to start the offense a little bit earlier, like 2-3 seconds earlier.
Uh-huh. All right.
And Rose, of course, is pro-Wall and saying, you know, they're a much better team. Yada yada yada. So it was interesting back and forth between Pierce and McGrady and Jalen Rose.
I wish you could find. You can't find that audio, can you? That'd be hard to find.
I can try. These.
See if you could find that, because that'd be interesting to come from, you know, Pierce, who played here.
Yeah, here's what Scott Brooks said. He says, we don't want Wall to change. Tomas has played better because he's gotten more confident. When John comes back, he isn't going to play those minutes, but the 15 to 20 minutes is going to be better because he now knows he can do the things he's been able to do with John out. But John is elite. We don't want to take his pick and roll game away. We don't want to take his speed coast to coast away. We want to make sure he understands we want that and we need that.
Of course.
But the other guys are still going to have to continue to play well and continue to grow as well.
Well, I think it's also on the other guys to continue moving. Don't just stand there and watch.
Right.
Get open, make the extra pass still.
Well, look at Otto playing well in the last month, averaging 19 points a game. Now, maybe that's going to come down a little bit when John returns, but he has to maintain his aggressiveness because there were times earlier this season when John and Brad were putting up 20, 25, 30 points that he was almost transparent. Like he didn't even notice what Otto was doing.
If Beal and Wall are putting up a combined 60 or 65 points, it's harder for Otto to get his shots. I mean, that's just the natural order.
Yeah, my point is he has to be somewhat aggressive. Look for your shot. Right now, he's looking for his shot at times. He's not just waiting to take a shot.
Wasn't he looking for a shot last year?
A little bit more than at times this season.
He took 17 last night, but when John comes back, maybe that dips to 13. But you're right. I mean, he should be able to still get into easily the double digits in shot attempts. And he should be taking, you know, 6 to 8 threes. He just should.
Hmm. But like last night, I think, is a great example where if John is there, they can't sag off Sato, you know, the way they do on defense. Like, they were doubling Beal all over the place. If John's there, you can't do that.
Not only that. But this is what Golden
Certainly
State
not as
did,
effectively.
And a lot of teams can do it. But Golden State threw a lot of different defenders at him.
Yeah.
Who had Beal?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Iguodala was guarding him at some point.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. It's Open Line Thursday, your chance to steer the show. Do whatever you want here. We're good. We're open to it, right, Cakes? Let's go to Chris in Oxon Hill. Chris, what's up, man? You're all in the Junkies.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Chris. I think the Wizards are missing an additional superstar, but it's not necessarily John Wall. We watching these games, and when John comes back, he can't shoot. He'll get 30, and the team will lose. He does good things defensively as far as his athletic ability, But that type of superstar, that OC, run down the floor as fast as you can, fall on the ground or get a foul, but he can't knock down open shots. We need to trade John Wall. And now that he has these three knee surgeries, DC is stuck with him, another injured player that's not conducive to winning championships. I mean, granted, we're not better without his talent, but he's not the right talent that they need for that team.
I mean, that's your opinion. I'm fine with being stuck with a superstar. It's okay. I can live with that.
It's going to be hard to trade a contract where he's going to be making mid-40s in a couple years.
Right.
Something like that.
I think he's basically untradeable. But beyond that, it's just so silly. I believe they're still behind last year's pace.
In terms of
wins.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are we talking about here? With John Wall, they were a better team last year than even with this surge. Like, what? I don't even get it.
It's very close, though. I think they're on pace for 48
wins. It's not like they're... I mean, they've missed him for... How many games has John missed this year or been banged up for? Well, this recent stretch, you're 14. Talking about 13 or 14, but he missed games earlier in the season, too.
Yeah, would he miss another
missed a rack of games,
probably,
I feel
right
like.
Around 20 games.
Yeah. I mean, if they were so much better without John, their record would be better this year.
No. You should almost throw anybody who says they're a better team without John Wall, throw that argument out. It's out of hand. It's wrong. You can point to a couple stats
right now. What is 62 minus 37? Is that 25?
Correct.
Sounds right.
Yeah, John's missed 25 games. So if they're better with John or without John.
I didn't realize he missed another 11 games.
He missed a ton of games. Yeah. Let's go to Zach in Germantown. Zach, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy March Madness month. How's everybody doing?
What's up, Zach? What's up?
March 1st. Can't believe it.
So, yeah, just always an exciting time. Very disappointed Terps probably aren't going to be there. I know they've had some pretty tough injuries this year, but I still expected a little bit better. They still have some really good players, and I expected some better, I don't want to say better performances, but...
Oh, my God. Hold on. That was my bad.
A lot of tough losses. Still expected a little bit better. Just want to hear your thoughts. And congratulations on 22 years, guys. Hang up and listen. Have a good one.
Thanks, appreciate man. It.
Thank you, pal. Look, I think everybody had high expectations. They've been in a tournament 3 years in a row. If they win today, what does that put them on? Problem is they just don't have any. Their non-conference schedule is a joke this year. Mm-hmm. I think their strength of schedule for their non-conference opponents is like 304 in a country.
Correct.
That you just cannot, you're not a tournament team when you play a schedule like that.
And, you know, as we talked about.
They don't have enough signature wins.
Yeah, the injuries.
Forget about the injuries.
The injuries killed them. But you're right, the signature wins, you could have got signature wins in conference. You know?
Right, but you need some out of conference, too.
Well, true, but, you know.
And to toughen
the injuries really killed them, and they just have a problem scoring. They do. I mean, they average low 70s in points, and that's got to be, you know, bottom half of D1, and they've just had a problem putting the ball in the basket consistently.
Now, it doesn't really mean anything because, again, you got to have some quality to them, but are they stuck on 19 wins? If they beat Wisconsin
they're
today,
19.
They'll
yes.
be at 20. They'd average, I think, 26 wins the previous 3 years. They had a breakthrough. They get to Sweet 16 2 years ago or so under Turge. I think they did.
Yes.
I think they did.
The problem is they're 8-28 against ranked teams. Yeah. So even if they mm-hmm. schedule a tougher non-conference schedule,
well, it's okay. You got to. It'll toughen you up if nothing else. The problem is I think they're 0 for a million on the road against ranked teams.
Correct.
I mean, it's a glaring weakness.
Yeah.
Is that for some reason the kids don't come to play, or for some reason the game plan's not good against these ranked teams?
If they would have beaten Penn State, beaten Nebraska, you know. Beaten St. Bonaventure. Who else?
They lost by five to Purdue.
Purdue. I mean, that would have been huge.
Close game.
If you take and those were all close games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got six or seven losses by, you know, 4 points or
and
less.
And that's why when we had Naki on, he kind of refused, even though, listen, the injury to Jackson was huge. And I guess Bender, to an extent, definitely hurts them.
Yeah, depth. Hurts their depth.
But Naki refused to blame this season on injuries because the opportunities were there in some of those games. That they could have still gotten it done.
Yeah, but you take those players off their team for an extended period of time, it's just tougher to score.
The turning point might have been that 1-point loss at Michigan. Because they had that game, they let it slip away, and then they lost three of their next four after that.
Is that when they didn't guard the ball and Rockman
yes.
caught the ball?
Yes.
And
that was killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was killer.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they had 5 or 6 wins right there in their pocket.
And now they're talking about Jackson may still leave, even though he did nothing. And then people are hyping up Fernando.
Well, Jackson,
and
if
Fernando,
leaving,
you know, has been projected to go like 20 or something on some of these lists.
Well, why wouldn't you?
He probably will go.
Jackson leaving would be the dumbest thing ever. It would be Diamond Stone Part 2.
I agree
Des
with
Wells.
You.
He's going to have a Des Wellsian career.
And Fernando's got to come back. He's got to come back for one more year.
I mean, of course.
I mean, just I would agree.
He couldn't be more raw.
Let me see if he's projected to go first round.
I didn't even realize the way Fernando ended up here was he was originally, I guess, slated to go play at SMU for Larry Brown. And then Larry Brown tracked him, kind of sent him Turge's way.
Nice.
That's kind of how he fell in our laps.
It's a nice
there.
Gift.
By the way, Des Wells was here for a senior year.
That's true. But I just mean, to me, Des Wells was a guy you wondered if he'd make it in the NBA. He's playing in Italy, I believe.
I know. And Pete, I always said he would find a way to make it in the league. Pete just mocked me. Pete was right.
Fernando,
I mean, he might make it eventually.
I don't see Fernando's name even in the second round in the latest mark.
Good.
He was there for a blip like 3 weeks ago. Like he was like top 15 or 17.
Now was he?
Yeah.
He really was.
He was.
Yeah, and then he had a couple
unless
dozen.
Unless I completely misread it, but I'm pretty sure I did.
No, he was up there.
He was definitely on the list.
And he's fallen off completely.
Yeah, now they punted him out
good.
In the second round.
Good. Where do they have Jackson? Please don't tell me they have him in the first round.
No.
Where do they have Jackson? He's on Pluto.
I get so bitter when these guys leave when they're nowhere near projected
they got
ready.
They got Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
I get so bitter. Jackson.
They have him projected to go number 2.
Right.
Go to stay in school. You're a rock star in College Park. Live that life. Maybe you get a little education, too, on the side while you're there. And then go chase the dream. There's no
right,
rush.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. It is Open Line Thursday. Want to explore a couple things when we come back. Couple names are out there for the Redskins to possibly chase. Muhammad Wilkerson is a stud defensive end who was let go by the Jets. He was set to make, I think, $20 million. Hmm. So they got rid of him for salary cap reasons, and he's got some other issues. We can get into that. And there's a report about the Nationals and Jake Arrieta. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan on an Open Line Thursday. If you want to get in on the Hadid Carb Clean Lister lines, you call us at 800-636-1067. Coach Scott Brooks from the Wizards will join us at 8. Jay Beagle at 8:40 for the morning skate. And we'll talk some NBA hoops with Rajah Bell, now a CBS Sports NBA analyst. He'll join us at 9:40. Before the break, I mentioned the Jets releasing Muhammad Wilkerson. And for me, I think the Redskins should be interested. This is a guy who was a 2011 first-round pick. Now, he was benched at the end of this last season for 3 games, but apparently it was for being late to a meeting, which wasn't the first time. Apparently, he's been disciplined for tardiness 4 times, so he's not punctual.
Bit of a head case.
In terms of talent, just a couple seasons ago, he had 12 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to find. Now, the last couple years, since he got paid,
right,
he hasn't produced like he did in 2015. So 2015, 12 sacks for Wilkerson. 2016, 2017, he produced 8 sacks.
Total?
Wow.
Over 2 years?
Sacks. So
that's a big red flag.
Privately, team officials questioned whether he still had the passion for the game, and he was due to count $20 million on the cap, which would have been the league's 4th highest cap charge for a non-quarterback.
He sounds like Albert Haynesworth Part 2.
Jets decided to part ways. It saves them $11 million. I don't know, though. If you could get him on the cheap.
How old is he? About 29?
28 years old.
He's got 2 double-digit
so
sack
young.
Seasons. One of them was in his contract year. And then his production plummeted after that.
Well, he had 44 leading up to the last 2 years, right? That's what got him paid. 44
yes,
and a half
in the 12
sacks,
sack season.
44 and a half in 4 years, and now he's had 8 and 2.
Look, if you think
that
he's still
scream Albert Haynesworth.
If you think he's still productive and you get him on a decent deal and you don't overpay him,
maybe
then maybe you bring him in and see what he's got. But you're not going to give this guy a ton of money. He's already had his payday.
So if you want to
guys who get cut, you know, 2 weeks before their salary becomes guaranteed,
yeah,
with that much money, they've got new motivation to make more money.
Right. Yeah.
So I would think in a situation like this, you know, someone's probably going to overpay him, but I still think he's got a lot of talent.
I mean, he should, based on age.
Yeah, I mean, he's 28
years old.
Based
on what he's done.
He's in his prime.
Yeah, but it is a little bit scary. I thought it was interesting. So yesterday, Doug Williams, you know, was peppered with questions. And I guess officially, first of all, with Zach Brown, they've put out an offer to Zach, and they're waiting to hear back.
So he wants to hear other offers, though. He wants to be a free agent.
Right, so we'll see how that goes. I do find it interesting that maybe, you know, I'm listening to all these sort of these opinions about sort of where the Redskins could go, because I'm of the opinion they need help everywhere. But it certainly is a good point, and I think it was Craig Hoffman that we had on that pointed this out, that while they have a ton of needs on defense, they actually really need a starting running back.
Absolutely.
And probably another starting elite receiver. So maybe I'm thinking, even though the defense is behind the offense, maybe that is where we should go. Doug Williams said publicly, we need another running back. It'd be basically, we wouldn't be an honest if we didn't say that.
Yeah.
Well, you can't go into a season again with Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up.
Options.
That's what I was going to bring up. And those guys have been underwhelming. But if they do draft a running back early, that basically means the end probably of Rob Kelly.
I would think.
Because they don't carry four backs typically.
No. And P. Ryan was the draft pick. So
P. Ryan they probably won't give up on yet. He's only been here for a year. I don't think he blew anybody away. He was underwhelming.
Did he have back-to-back 100-yard games?
He played a little better towards the end.
Yeah.
But he was underwhelming. So if they do draft another running back, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to cry for him. But it's interesting that would probably spell the end for Rob Kelly.
Well, I'd expect that.
Most likely.
He was oft injured last year. He wasn't producing. I would move on from Rob Kelly, regardless.
Yeah, I guess. It's just
if you bring Rob Kelly back, to me, something is majorly wrong.
He was a nice story.
Rob Kelly's a good backup.
But he wouldn't be here.
But to me, you've already got a backup.
But he's a guy that,
because
of the dearth of talent, was relied on as a starter.
Right.
And he's not a starter in the NFL.
They're going to draft a running back.
Like in the last couple of years, like Matt Jones was our starter, next year, cut. Rob Kelly was our starter next year. If they draft a running back high, or even if they draft one later, he's still likely to be
cut. The only guy that stuck around is Chris Thompson, and he's a role guy.
Well, he's a big-time role guy. He's a big-time.
I agree, but my point is he's not an every-down back.
No, he's a change-of-pace guy.
He's the guy who stuck around. The other story I wanted to mention real quick is Bob Nightingale, who has been a baseball reporter, writer for many years, says that the Nationals do remain engaged with Jake Arrieta.
Of course they are.
And they continue to monitor the market as he remains the top prize. And it's interesting, the downside that people are saying about signing somebody like Jake Arrieta is they believe that takes away dollars from signing Bryce Harper.
They're not signing Bryce and they know it. they're not re-signing Bryce. He's not coming back here. They won't give him what he's going to get.
So would you go out and give Jake Arrieta high dollars?
I don't know.
What's high dollars?
What are we talking about, a 7-year deal or like a 3-year deal?
I think it's more like, I don't think anybody's giving him a 7-year
deal. Right, I give him like a 2 or 3-year deal.
I think
deal.
There are some teams that are in the mix for a 3-year deal.
Yeah, I give him a 2 or 3-year deal, absolutely. Can you imagine our rotation?
Right now they just don't have a fifth starter. I would say he'd be the third starter.
It would hook our totals, Matt.
I think so, too.
Yeah, that's true.
He'd be at worst your third.
Right.
Max,
if you got
Strauss,
him for a 3-year deal,
Arrieta, Gio, and then Tanner.
Right.
That's a beast.
That's a ridiculous
rotation.
If you get him for 3 years, I think that's stealing him.
Yeah.
And because last year, when you looked at all the free agent lists, you said, all right, well, Arrieta's going to be free. He's going to get 6-7 years, $130-140 million, something close to what Darvish got. But obviously, no one wants to give him that. So you get
him
for 3 years.
I don't know what you could get now. If you get him for three, even what, 75 maybe or something like that?
Sure.
Over the last two seasons.
You're going to lose Gio next year anyway.
Over the last two seasons, Jake Arrieta's made 61 starts, pitched to a 3.3 ERA while striking out roughly a batter per inning.
Right. And everyone
hasn't been on the disabled list since early in the 2014 season.
You'd kill for that.
Of course you would.
To round out
your rotation. Love to add him to the
round out your rotation.
They say his velocity was down overall last season, but part of that was by design. He still missed bats, and he saw an uptick in fastball velocity over the final weeks of the regular season.
Right.
So you put him out there with that offense, you win a ton of games.
And he's in his prime for pitcher. He's
32. So when did they sign Wieters? It was around this time, right, when all of a sudden Wieters just showed up?
He was late to the game.
It's going to be one of those deals.
And he's a Boris
guy. By Heyman, by Nightingale, by everybody who's reporting on this, the Nats are the faves on this one. I'm actually going to be disappointed at this point if they don't land him.
And if AJ Cole is our fifth starter,
out there a couple weeks ago. Yeah. You know, good shot at stealing Arrieta because he's a Boris guy who the learners obviously deal with, Rizzo deals with all the time. And no one wants to give him what he thought he was going to get.
They're just, Rizzo's just waiting out the market.
Yep. It's a good landing spot.
Now, the other two teams that are interested are Milwaukee and Philly can spend some money. So you might have to outbid Philly. But if Arrieta wants to go to a winner, he's not going to Philly.
Nope.
Right. Let's go to, let me see here. Let's go to Clarence in D.C. Clarence, what's up, buddy? Go with the Junks.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up,
Clarence? What's up, man?
All right. So the question I wanted to ask was, why is it that John Wall is untradeable? Why does his contract make him untradeable if he's a superstar?
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at his salary.
It's a supermax deal.
So for 2020, he's going to make $38 million. For 2021, he makes $41 million. 2022 makes $44 million, and then his last year in 23 makes $47 million.
I think the answer, Clarence, is in
NBA. I think that's the answer, right?
You
there.
You have to match up contracts.
Right, the salaries have to be
pretty
close.
You can't trade him for a first round pick.
Yeah,
you can't do that. So you're going to have to find another $40 million a year player. And generally speaking, if you have a $40 million a year player, they're superstars, and you're happy with
right,
them.
You're not so why, to is, trade
why,
them.
Why is there going to be a trade? You'd have to find some ridiculous trade.
That's just a lot of money to trade.
If he's a superstar, I can't imagine anybody saying that about Steph Curry or LeBron James. If he's a superstar, you make room for him. You make it happen if he's available.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but he's still not there.
He's not on that level, though.
He's not there.
I think you know that.
He's a notch below those guys.
But you're right. If he was on that level, sure. But John Wall with the banged-up knees, you know, has missed 25 games this year. I'm not sure you want to roll the dice and spend $47 million on a guy you might not be seeing for 82 games. Right?
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's easy to do in fantasy hoops, but you're just not going to make a John Wall for Damian Lillard deal.
Right.
It's doesn't happen.
Thanks for the call, Clarence. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Keith in D.C. Keith, what's up, man?
Hey, morning, guys. I just wanted to try to ask y'all a question on the 49ers. I'm a 49er fan, and John Lynch was talking at the combine about Reuben Foster and his situation that he's going through and how they're not really making no immediate action on it, but it's not consistent with how they did Tremaine Brock. And I'm just wondering, being John Lynch a defensive guy, I'm kind of figuring, like, that's his guy that he gambled on, and he's not moving too soon to say that, you know, he called the bad one on Reuben Foster.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see what y'all thought about.
So you're saying they're not as consistent with Brock because they're keeping Foster and haven't made a move yet?
Right. Yeah, and you know, with two arrests in the course of 2 months, where on the other hand, you know, Tremaine Brock, you know, kept his nose clean until the domestic violence incident came up and they cut him immediately.
Well, I mean, just look at the talent. And Reuben Foster is a more talented player than Brock is, so that's one reason.
That's what it comes down to.
You know, Reuben Foster was a first-round pick, stud in college. He's had some issues. Look, he's a mess. He's a nightmare. But guy can make 100 tackles a year, so that's why they're giving him the benefit of the doubt. I have no idea what the future is for him, but I hope it works out.
Yeah, but if he keeps racking up domestic violence accusations and is running around with assault rifles, they're only going to have so much patience.
Correct.
No matter how good he is.
So, yeah, I don't know what they're doing with Foster. I mean, I was just kind of waiting it out.
Well, I think if they were going to...
He's had a marijuana incident, and he's had the domestic incident.
Yeah. I think if they were going to move on from him, they would have already.
I would
think.
They're
clearly going to try to make this
work. They want to try and make it work.
They're going to give him one more chance.
He's a good player.
Exactly.
Really good player.
If you're a great player, you get chances.
Sure.
You see what's happened with Josh Gordon. Which, by the way, what's his contract status?
I think he's a UFA.
He's a free agent.
I make a run.
Yeah.
And I just strict guidelines, zero tolerance policy, obviously.
Have a full time guy with him.
Yeah. Baby, you gotta have a babysitter.
Yeah, you gotta hire that
who was
guy.
Didn't the Wiz have like Greg Ballard would like follow like one of the, I don't know if it was Andre Blotch or somebody. I feel like the Wiz had a guy once and Greg Ballard was the babysitter years ago.
I don't remember that.
Every team has to have a guy.
Like a Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton had a guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he needed a guy.
He really needed a guy.
I'm surprised.
Like heroin addiction.
I'm surprised we haven't heard any stories about him because he's not going to play ever again.
Right.
So I'm surprised we haven't heard any like off-the-field stories about him relapsing.
Maybe he's gotten it turned around.
That's a great story if he has.
Yeah.
Really is.
All right, open line Thursday. If you want to get in, talking about a bunch of things from the Redskins to the Wizards, you can at 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.